Hello, hello, hello. Got a good one for you tonight, today, wherever you are. Want to just remind everyone we do have a backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, which will be in the description below. And if you could like these videos, that helps us with all the rhythms and stuff. And going into all the holidays, I want to thank all of our viewers and supporters and subscribers. It's been an awesome year, and so thankful. So thankful. Last year at this time, I didn't know if we'd go another year, but I want to say we're going another year because of you guys. This is viewer-supported, and you guys are helping. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to talk about the dangers of toxic positivity. Now, some of you were not in the faith message, but even if you weren't, this applies to basically the whole world and jobs and everything. That just be positive, do positive. And it's always good to be positive and have a good attitude, but there's also a danger when you do not acknowledge any other emotion. When you don't acknowledge real life, when you don't acknowledge your emotions, when you don't know how to deal with problems. And this is what happened in the church world, and I was in this for many years, the church world, 40-some years, and you're basically taught not to take care of yourself. You're told that you have to be positive, everything is blessed, you're highly favored, and if you're going through a struggle, you really can't talk about it because there's something wrong with you. You don't have enough faith, or just you don't want to be a bummer to anyone else, so you don't really want to talk about anything negative. And I remember even situations that I've had in my life with when my retina detached, I was preaching, didn't tell anybody. And I mean, you just are not used to saying, I have a need. Can someone help me? And I know a lot of people can relate to that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. A couple of things in this book, Beyond Seduction and then Seduction of Christianity. There's something I want to start off with here, and it's to be positive at all costs. Now, today they have, November, or was it 2020, they started a new word. It's called toxic positivity, and it's the prevailing to be positive at all costs attitude that people don't want to face the truth. And Paul warned that those who are not lovers of the truth would be given a strong delusion to believe Satan's lie. In 2 Thessalonians, now think about how long this has been happening, that we don't deal with truth. And now you try to tell people the truth and there's like a wall. They don't want to hear truth because they don't know how to handle truth. So they just rather put you off as you're kind of a nut. We don't want to hear about that. If it doesn't come across the television and the news, then it's not real. And so this is a delusion. This is a delusion that it's talking about in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. The popular substitution of positive for truth is a perfect setup for this prophesied delusion. And we're seeing that. People do not know how to face truth. They can't handle truth. And another thing he says in this is the same God who pronounced everything good in the first chapter of the Bible warned Adam and Eve in the second chapter that the consequences of disobedience was death. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2:17. Well, nothing could be more negative than that statement, yet it was true. And nothing could be more positive than Satan's promise that Eve would become a god through eating the forbidden fruit, yet it was false. Clearly emphasizing the positive and rejecting the negative caused Eve to believe the serpent's lie. The issue then was obedience, and so it is today. To insist that Christianity must always be positive is to mock God and lead souls astray. Think about that. And then the other book here in The Seduction of Christianity. There is a belief in laws that control spiritual forces, which in turn control the physical world through the power of inherited spoken words, is the essence of sorcery. Occultists promote exactly the same concepts as positive confession leaders. Let that soak in. Occult promote exactly the same concepts as positive confession leaders. Occultists repeat a mantra, a special word with spiritual power, and practice decreeing, which is a repetition of positive confessions to create what is spoken. These I Am groups, which are the Universal and the Triumphant Church, they get together not to pray but to decree because they believe in the science of the spoken word, the creative power of the spoken word. In the mind science cults, one doesn't pray but makes positive affirmations, which is what the positive confession movement also teaches. It used to be that confession meant repentance and turning from sin. However, some would consider that a negative confession. So that's huge. So today we want to talk about this, the dangers of toxic positivity. Now, nobody likes a downer, someone that's always complaining, that's always negative. So we're not talking about that. But the Bible says that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. So go to the other extreme of always having to be positive, which we most of us were taught. There's some dangers with it. We're going to talk about that and how to come out of this teaching. And when you've been in these teachings most of your life, it's a process coming out. It doesn't just happen because, oh, now I hear the truth. It's you were programmed to always be positive, to never come to people with your prayer needs. It's just like, oh, you know, then it shows there's something wrong with me. And there's a lot of shaming. Plus, now in the workplaces, and even people that aren't saved, they go, don't go negative on me, stay positive. So it's not just in the church, but this is New Age. This is the New Age, and it's also occultism. And a lot of it was brought in through Norman Peale, Norman Vincent Peale, and Robert Schuller. I was going to go more into that, but I don't have time. So the dangers of toxic positivity. Now, something that's toxic is poisonous. It's harmful and it's dangerous. Toxic positivity was coined in 2020, and it's really being fakely positive. The concept, and I wrote all these notes, the concept that keeping positive and keeping positive only and rejecting anything that might trigger negativity emotions, we're also talking about forced positivity. Result, what's the result of this? It's lying about how one really feels. Now they use this scripture, and I looked this up, a bunch of them, Bible verses relating to being positive. And they always use rejoice evermore, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Well, we do want to rejoice because this is not our home. We're going to heaven. We're going into glory. We're going to get new bodies. And, you know, this world is passing. This is Babylon. We're not supposed to love the world, but we love the Lord in the world that we're living. But Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Nowhere does it say, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are positive. That is not in there. It doesn't say positive. And a lot of the things in the rebukes of the Lord are negative. They'll take out a lot of the scriptures, but they don't quote those scriptures. And the things that Paul went through to get the Bible to us, and all the different hardships he went through. So people go, oh, Paul, he just didn't have enough faith. Paul got killed. A lot of these people, they all died. The old prophets died. Well, that's negative. But we live our best life now, and we're on top and rising. Guess what? There's deception here. So we're going to break this down a little bit. We're talking about being positive when you don't feel positive. You're actually lying. and you're lying to yourself and you're lying to people in your life and you have shallow relationships. Because a lot of people go, if they're negative, I don't want them around me. I don't want anyone negative around me. So the result is lying about how one feels. And then you become isolated since you're pretending to feel a certain way, but you don't. So you can't really tell people what's going on, especially when people die and you're grieving. People fake it like, oh, I'm just, you know, he's in heaven now and I'm so happy for them. But you're grieving, you're here. And you have to go through the process of allowing yourself to feel the emotions. God gave you emotions, but he wants us to control them, but we still have to identify them to tame them. And a lot of people don't want to identify it, so they stuff. And then things come out sideways. They always come out sideways if you don't deal with stuff. And then there's a pressure. I wanted to make a little sign with a smiley face on it. There's a pressure to appear happy all the time. A mask. People are wearing masks to pretend, well, I'm good. Relationships are really shallow. You're hiding. You're faking it and denying that you made mistakes, you have imperfections, and you've experienced failure. That's all part of life. And as a result, people are having health problems because they're being full of anxiety and they're depressed because they don't know how to process any emotion other than a positive feeling. That's not in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible says, be thus positive and do not be negative. A lot of people don't know how to have relationships because they can't be vulnerable and they can't be honest. You suppress and deny uncomfortable feelings. You end up not addressing struggles. And when you don't address your struggles, you don't know how to work through them. And you become afraid of them. You become afraid of emotions because you don't want to get angry. You don't want to deal with disappointment, discouragement, all these things. And as a result, you don't know how to handle your own self versus other people and their problems because you don't want to hear it. Some people just cut you right off. If you're a little bit going through something, I don't have time for that. You know, look up, there's a silver lining. They give you pep talks. You don't need a pep talk right now. You need someone to listen to you. The opposite of toxic positivity is compassion. And I would say a lot of these churches that were raised in this positive stuff have no compassion. There's no love. There's no caring. It's all fake, phony, people running around pretending that they have no issues. God didn't create us to be like that. Over time, unresolved emotional stress can deteriorate your health. It's okay to be honest about your challenges and be transparent. It makes strong parents and strong leaders. When someone gets up and can be vulnerable, you can relate to that. But if they're phony and they have this phony positivity about them, you can't really connect. I remember my brother went to Bible school and he said that the teacher said they only share their victories. Everything's victory. And he said, I can't relate to that. I have failures. How do I deal with that? Well, they didn't deal with failures. They only dealt with victory, victory, victory. Yeah, we could all vomit right now. Others, and this is what you have to do when somebody's going through something, give others the space to speak their truth. You have compassion is caring and it's listening. And I mean, if someone's going to take advantage of you, that's a different story. But we're talking about learning how to be compassionate with others rather than give them a fake pep talk, which they don't need. They don't need. Learn how to listen and validate. Validate their feelings. I understand. Help me understand. Is there something you need? Instead of, well, you know, this is the best thing that could happen. Get over it. Move on. Let it go. People have said that. Just let it. How do you just let it go? I wish it was just that easy. Let it go. Okay, it's gone now. That's a lot of the counseling you get. The opposite of again, toxic positivity is compassion. Compassion. Be compassionate with other people. Learn to listen. It's possible to overdose on the fake sweet nectar of everything is awesome. Its overuse can cause harm and suffering. Let me give you a definition of what they're saying is this toxic positivity. We define toxic positivity as the excess and ineffective overgeneralization of a happy, optimistic state across all situations. The process of toxic positivity results in the denial, minimization, and invalidation of other people's emotions. There's some people you don't even want to talk to because you know they're not going to give you the time of day, and they're going to judge you and shame you for what you're going through. And we shouldn't, that's not how God wants us to be with other people. We're not supposed to just invalidate their feelings and tell them to get over it. Just get over it. Just like anything else done in excess, when positivity is used to cover up or deny real emotions, it becomes harmful. It becomes toxic. And a lot of people, it's amazing how a lot of people in the world will go to a bartender, to go to a bar and just kind of vent. But in church, they can't say anything because they're supposed to be perfect. They're not supposed to have any problems. And, you know, if just you have faith, and if you don't have enough faith, well, just give your way out of it. You know, if you have a problem, just keep giving. And there's something wrong with you if you're just not getting results. Such a cult. Toxic positivity is an obsession with positive thinking. Put a positive spin on all your experiences and pretend to be happy even when they're struggling. An example, someone dies. Well, it's time to move on now. God maybe have someone else for you. I mean, people are so inconsiderate because they're not putting themselves in your shoes. That's what I always say. Compassion is putting yourself in someone else's shoes. What are they going through? How are they feeling? And another thing they always go, well, they're in heaven now. You just lost your son, but they're in heaven now. Like, that's supposed to make me happy? There's still a process of grief. Even in the Old Testament, they went through a grieving process. And it's the same today. If someone dies, even if they're old, my Grandma Joan died a couple years ago now, and it was maybe a year and a half ago or something. I grieve. She's 92. And she had a great life. But still, there's a grieving process. And I miss her. She was someone I could talk to. She was like my mom. And they're not going to be here anymore. It's such a finality when someone's gone. So just to tell someone, just, you know, move on. They're in heaven now. Like, that's going to make it all better. No, they need a hug. They need someone to be alongside them, maybe for a couple days. Who knows? Sometimes people take, you know, I told my son when he lost one of his best friends, cry. Let yourself grieve. Don't listen to anybody else. Let yourself feel the emotions of the sadness. You lost a close friend. Because then you can deal with it, and then it won't creep up on you later. Because when my mom died, I was so young, I did not know how to grieve. And then one day, everyone was talking about their mom, all these preachers, and I just lost it. I was just like, I don't have a mom to talk to. Because I didn't know how to properly grieve. I just had to go to school and pretend like nothing was wrong. So give other people the space to speak their truth. Resist offering advice or a pep talk. Okay, we did that. Let's go on to the next one. Some risks. When you don't deal with people's real situations, there's some real harm. You ignore the red flags. And a lot of people in churches have stayed with abusive people because they just have to love and forgive. And they end up in abusive situations because they think that that's God's love and forgiveness to just stay with that abusive person. We haven't been taught that sometimes you have to leave, you know, for your own sanity, your own safety. But that side is never heard. Just stay positive. Just keep loving them. Keep cooking them breakfast. We need to identify and name emotions rather than avoid them, because what happens is you stuff them. And I've been good at that. I don't know if you guys have. Just, you know, you're kind of used to being a doormat, and you just kind of let people run all over you. You stuff them, and then you dismiss them. But as I get older, I'm just like, you know, I'm not taking that anymore. I am not anyone's doormat. When you're in the ministry, you kind of think that's part of it. You have to just take all that. But people can be abusive. Woo! Signs of a toxic positivity is hiding and masking your true feelings. You know, people run around with masks. They're afraid of everything. They're masking. You don't even know who they are. Well, that's how people are in church. They put on this mask, and every time you see them, how are you doing? Fine. I'm just fine. But they're not fine. Two of my friends in the last few years have committed suicide. They were both in the ministry. And I was like, wow, can you be yourself? Can you talk about when you're going through anxiety and depression? Is there someone that you can talk to? Or is there no one to talk to in churches because you have to have this happy face? Not validating others for what they're going through. Cheap sayings like, it could be worse. Or shaming people for their frustration. To force a positive outlook on pain is to encourage a person to keep silent about their struggles. Well, I'm never going to talk about that again. I'm never going to go get help again because they don't know who they can talk to. Then pretending and masking. No one wants to be a downer. I don't want to tell anybody what I'm really going through. My dad was like that. We'd find him in the hospital. He had 7 heart attacks. And we'd find him in the hospital. One of the kids would tell us, and we'd call him, and he'd be so mad that we found out that generation. So mad that, we found out he was in the hospital. But he didn't know how to receive compassion, and we bugged him anyway. We loved him anyway. We don't want to show a part of ourselves, so we create a fake face or a public persona for the world. We deny our truth. The real truth is, life can hurt sometimes. There's good times and there's bad times. Sometimes you only have good time friends. They're only there for the good times. Your real friends are there for when you're going through the hard times. They're a friend that loveth at all times. If you're angry and the angry feelings aren't acknowledged, you bury it. You bury it. And it's amazing how people, they get older and they haven't dealt with any of their angry issues, and they're angry at the whole world. It's like they've accumulated all this anger and they don't know how to release it, and then they just become an angry, bitter person. So if you suppress your emotions and you don't ever deal with them, it can cause anxiety and depression. Now, there's a little column here I've got. Toxic positivity. This is something that you would hear. Don't think about it. Stay positive. Don't worry. Be happy. Failure's not an option. Everything will work out in the end. This is positive vibes only. This is so new age. I want to hit this a little bit. If I can do it, you can do it. And then people say, delete the negativity. Look for the silver lining. Everything happens for a reason, or it could be worse. That's not comforting. That's not compassion. Instead, we should say, describe what you're feeling. I'm listening. Or, I'm so sorry you're going through this. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to aim for balance. We're authentic people, that we have feelings and emotions and we can discuss it with other people instead of being fake. So we can accept the good and the bad emotions. Constant positivity is a form of avoidance and not a valid solution to your problems. That's a quote. Constant positivity is a form of avoidance and not a valid solution to your problems. And lastly, in denying our truth, we make it difficult for others to connect and relate to us. We're sending in, only good feelings are allowed in my presence feeling. And you attract more fakeness and a fake emotional world. And a lot of times in church, everybody is so fake. It's such a surface. There's no depth. The result is no true intimacy, and now you have a superficial friendship. And then what happens? You feel isolated. Since you live a pretend life. The opposite of toxic positivity is compassion. Show concern. Act kindly. feel sympathy. The priests and the scribes were proud and corrupt. They despised common people and they neglected them. They abused them. But Jesus had compassion. Jesus taught people and he loved them. And he went to the woman that had, you know, so many husbands, and he went to this one that was sick, and he went to that. He had compassion right where the people were at. He went to where they really lived, not where they pretended to live. So this is also New Age spirituality, and it's also the law of attraction. Even if it's not taught in church, it's taught in the world, the law of attraction. And what they say is, the basis of this law is the idea that like attracts like, which is to say what one is manifesting into their lives has to do with the vibration frequency and the nature of one's thoughts. This is what they're teaching. You want positivity, you have to put positivity out to the universe for your energy frequency and your energy fields, and we only accept good vibes. This is New Age. It's the law of attraction. It has nothing to do with Christianity, and yet it seeped in, and it came through all this positivity, possibility thinking. The idea behind this is that everything exists on a hierarchy of vibrations. Have you hearing this now? Only good vibes. With good things having high vibration and bad things have low vibe. That's a low vibration, baby. I only want high vibration. How ridiculous is this? So they say in order to manifest something, you must be on the same vibrational frequency as the thing they wish to manifest. And if you have high vibrations, they say you can receive from the universe. But that has nothing to do with Christianity. The law of attraction and being positive has nothing to do with Christianity. In fact, it's probably the worst thing because now no one will receive correction. They will not receive correction, and they only want to go to feel-good sermons. So now we have ear tickling, only give me the positive. I only want positive. Now, sometimes we need to be slapped with a sermon that puts us on our face, and we repent. We repent while we still can, right? And the Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth. Sometimes we have to repent for what comes out of our mouth. I'm just amazed that people have no self-control over what comes out of their mouth. So we have to control, self-control. But that doesn't mean we always have to be in this toxic, fake world. And then these toxic, fake sermons. And then everybody's fake. Some of them aren't wearing masks right now, but they might as well, because they got on this smiley face. And as a result, nobody wants to share what they're really going through. People are lonely right now. People have lost their jobs. People are going through hard times. And you need to be a good friend. Find out who your friends are and be able to talk. And if you need to vent sometimes, it just helps you to talk it through with somebody. And you know what? Then you get over it. If you can't talk to anybody, it's hard to process. Sometimes I process through talking. And I don't even know how to figure it out, but as I talk it through, it's like, okay, now I know what to do. And some people just process all the time talking. It's like sometimes you need a balance. We all need balance. Okay, so let's pray, and then we're going to close here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. It's true. It doesn't say it's positive. It's true. And honest. So stop lying to make everybody else around you happy. Find someone that you can actually tell your truth. It's sad to me that so many people are going to have to pay to have their problems. They go to these, I don't want to mention it, but you know, they go to everybody else to talk through their problems with, because they don't have a friend that they can be honest with. Sometimes you need a mirror and a friend. A mirror says, that looks horrible on you. And a friend that says, hey, you know what? You've been in self-pity. It's time to come out of that. I mean, there's sometimes you do need to get another perspective. But it's somebody that's going to love you anyway, no matter what. You're good or bad, or having a good day or bad day, instead of just having positive vibes around you all the time. That's just not even reality. You cannot live only being positive all the time. It's not even a reality. It's not even possible. So Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. There's times we need to encourage the other person. It's not always about you, but sometimes you have to understand what they're going through so you can be yourself and they can be themselves, if that makes any sense. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in him and he shall bring it to pass. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Sometimes we do get angry, but the Bible says don't sin. But your feelings of anger, you can't suppress that. If someone abuses you, you're going to feel angry, like you today at work. That's a normal feeling. Now it's what you do with it, right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we'll stay balanced. A false balance is an abomination unto you. We thank you for real, true, authentic lives, that we have a space and a time we can talk and we can receive and we can have authentic fellowship with one another. And we give you all the praise and the glory for that. And we thank you for giving us eyes to see. Keep us in the joy of the Lord even when times are hard, they're sad. We thank you. We have you, Lord. You're with us. You said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison, and also her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her. Be sure to check out her YouTube playlist for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org webpage and click on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.